Start back in the middle. What to speak of the personality of Godhead, even the inferior demigods are free from the defects of old age. Because the personality of Godhead is always free from the symptoms of age, his hairs do not turn gray or white with age, as do those of a conditioned being. Right? The Vedic literatures always describe the hairs of the Supreme Lord as black, but there is no description of white hairs. Hairs either naturally white or turned white with age in the spiritual body of the personality of Godhead. For this reason, the story of white and black hairs from the head of Lord Vishnu is not very plausible. The learned will not accept it. Right? So he's pointing out that it's how you interpret. This is the whole point of hermeneutics. Because much of the time what we want to do is our hermeneutics, we want to apply them according to how it makes sense to us in our conditioned state. Right? Now that should be a final position. Does that make sense? Means it should be that what the Shastra says, it comes down to that with the position you're in, you can understand it. Mm-hmm. Right? Because then that means you can see it that way. But you can't start from there. Right? If I read something, oh, that doesn't make sense, and so therefore it can't apply, what are we starting from? Are we starting from Shabda? Or if starting from, we're starting from either pratyaksha or anuman. You understand? So it's a faulty system. So this idea is that, oh, it doesn't make sense to the modern mind. Always remember when I'm discussing these things, I'm always talking about devotees. Unless we specifically mention Mayavadis or Smartas, we're always talking about the devotees, right? Because Bhagavatam's for devotees. So that means devotees have nine cantos worth of anartas to get rid of. Right? So that the tenth canto can be appreciated. Right? So these subtleties. So this aspect then means is that because it doesn't make sense to their modern mind, that's not a position to take. It's not a position to support. Now, you have to accept the Shastra is correct, because what's happening here? Oh, it doesn't make sense. So what am I taking as authority?
My own mind.
That's a weakness. Yes. That will not work. Because if that worked, then the Western civilization would have already come to its pinnacle, you would expect, in so many thousands of years. But it's not. Depending upon how you look at it, the bigger cycles, then every so many hundreds or thousands of years, they have to reinvent themselves. But as it is now, it's like every 6 months you have to reinvent yourself if you're not. Like I was just reading yesterday, is that these companies that do, how you say, the supply, they just store data for you. Right? They're getting into these drones that observe things. Those and all kinds of stuff like this, because their point is that if you're not already ahead in technology, then you're behind. And it's kind of like, what has this got to do with them? But the whole point is they're already looking, is that these are ways to deal with stuff, and if you're not already there, then there's a problem.
Yes.
Does that make sense? You know, so the whole how do we get into that?
Projection.
No, it was something to do with this projection. They're just taking. Oh, okay, that was it. Is that you're already means you're already behind, and we haven't done anything yet.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So this idea is that we'll keep up with the cutting edge. The cutting edge. You know, you've got $1 billion, you can keep up with the cutting edge. You don't have $1 billion, you're definitely behind. It's that simple. So just live with it. Yes.
And what's the proper way to approach something that you don't understand and seems contradictory?
Yes. Shastra? Then it's a matter of you're taking it Shastra's correct. Now, how to understand it that way? Then contemplating that, it may take some time. Reading, contemplation, discussing with devotees, and then you finally see how it works. Then you can see how that applies into your situation. Because the point is you're always trying to bring it from Shabda down to Pratyaksha, because if I could see it, then I understand it. Right? But see doesn't necessarily mean, when you say see through the eyes of Shastra, means you're dealing with that yogic realization. Remember there was the discussion before? I think it was in Tattvasandarbha. Then there was the discussion of the different kinds of Shabda. Right? So one kind is where through yogic understanding, means by the grace of the Lord, you can see it even though it's physically not there, but you can see. You know, it's just like you see the tree, we think beautiful, nice, but you can see that there's a living entity there in ignorance. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know, so you're able to see the modes of nature, see these things, because you understand how it works, so you can see its application. Okay? Like that. Or it can be just obvious. That's also okay. But it has to start from Shabda. So you have to have faith that this is correct. And if I don't immediately understand it, I will contemplate it till I do. Just like we see the example, I think it was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Because then, Gayatris are 24 syllables. Bakam Gayatri is called 23 and a half.
Yeah.
So he's thinking, how does this work? And that, so he was really, really disturbed about this, because this Shastra is always correct, till he finally found Radharani herself revealed a quote from Sanat Kumar Samhita that explained that grammatically when this happens, even though it's full, it's counted as a half. Does that make sense? So it's just how it works. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then that's the point. So he had faith that Shabda is correct. Then it may take some time to understand it. That we appreciate. But this point is if it's not obvious to my conditioning right now, then it can't be right. Then the only problem is then you better have really good conditioning. And as we see that we've been discussing, Brahma Samhita, that Lord Brahma doesn't even have the conditioning to understand it just straight from reading it or hearing it. Let alone, drop down, what is it? Seven planetary systems. And then of the seven islands, drop down to the middle one, right? Where they're have the least qualification. And on that, then drop down to just this part of the Bharatakanda. Right? And then a Bharatakanda talk about the stuff that's outside Bharatavarsha. And then we're gonna understand,
And Kali Yuga intelligence.
Yeah, and then add Kali Yuga. Yeah. So we just have to remember is Kali Yuga affects us, not the universe.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You can say understand.
What about the negative? They don't get their shares.
That's another thing, but what I'm meaning is, it's just like this. Take Calcutta, okay? Okay? Dirty, grungy, everything like that, okay? No? What if you moved all the people out and left it there for 5 years? No, it would just, nature would just come in and things would grow and everything like that. You understand? So, is it nature has changed by Kali Yuga, or how we perceive things has changed? You understand? So it's us. We don't see the values in respect, cleanliness, you know, authority of Shastra, spiritual vision, spiritual endeavor. We just see, you know, the practical endeavor for eating, sleeping, mating, defending is all that's important. So it's us. The laws of nature, nature goes on the exact same. It's affected, of course. Trees are smaller, everything's smaller. Better the small. You know, you want to bump into a dinosaur? Right, you know, so better the small.
Right?
Yes.
You feel Jiva Goswami uses a proof here, and Prabhupada also uses the same, and sometimes not well appreciated. And that's, it's not mentioned in the Vedas, so we don't accept it.
Oh, since it's not mentioned
it's
in the Vedas.
Not mentioned,
so we don't accept it. Yeah, it means that's our stand.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sometimes we hear, where does it say you can't do that? Nobody.
It's always, but it comes down to this. Unless it says that on Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, you know, on the corner of, you know, 3rd and 33rd, then, you know, you can't pick your nose with your left, you know, small finger. Yes. Unless it says like, oh, then it doesn't say. Mm-hmm. So the point is there has to be the point of starting with Shastra and then gaining the qualification to understand it. But the idea is, no, if I don't understand it where what I am now, it doesn't exist. But if that's the case, then who understands, you know, their computer, right? It means you take, what is it, you know, like Word or something. There's 1,000 functions in there. People lose like 15 or 20, and that's the ones that are good at it. It can do thousands of things. You know, but we don't, yet, so does that mean it doesn't exist? You know, so this is Buddhism. This is the whole point, is Buddhism. If I don't see it, it doesn't exist. You know?
Even if I see it, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, and even if I do see it, it doesn't exist. Like that, yeah. We understand what we're dealing with here? So we're dealing with a lot of false ego for very minimal qualification. You know? You know, it's like a chihuahua or something. You know? Not they're making so much trouble, but you know, they're so small. You know, chihuahua? It's a little dinky Mexican dogs. They're about this big.
Oh, okay.
Like this. Yeah.
Like pincha.
Yeah. Means that they're about this big. Not the Chinese ones. You know, they're a little big, real fluffy. But these are probably the same size, but not so fluffy, so they're not very cute. Right? You can stick them in your handbag, you know, those guys. Yeah, those ones. At least that fashion didn't come in with the devotees, right?
Oh, you dodged that bullet.
Yeah, you know, in the temple room. Yeah, I'm really glad we missed that one.
Yeah. Chandan.
Yeah, put the garment. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Hmm. So the point that it's not mentioned in the Vedas is Prabhu said.
Yes.
It said it's in the Vishnu Purana.
Mm-hmm.
So because it's Smriti, they don't consider it.
No. What he's meaning is, if it's not mentioned by the authorized scriptures, then we don't worry about it. We don't accept it. Like that. So that, because Veda means, so you can extend what Veda, but our point is if it doesn't start from Shabda, given in the scripture, the accepted scriptures, the authorized scriptures, then it's not important, because the scripture already includes everything. Now, according to our vision, we may not be able to see it. That's why we need training. It's just like, for the 5-year-old, how important is it to go to school? Yeah, it's not important. So therefore, then if we take that as a stand, you know, march on Washington, you know, 1 million, you know, 5-year-olds march on Washington, you know, like that. We want to get rid of this school stuff, you know. And who are they led by? Of course,
Peter Pan, right?
Yeah. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. Does that make it a value? That's why it says the simply starting from mass is not important. The Vedic concept is the mass should be satisfied because you've implemented things that are actually important and useful. You don't start from the mass. Right. If you started from the kids, what would be food?
Oh,
yeah. Just you can imagine. So that's the whole thing. You don't start from there. You have to start from authority, from the parents, but make it so it matches, so the kid is satisfied. Right, and then the kid grows up into an adult. So therefore, the mass, if they're exposed to what's proper, then they'll grow up into mature individuals. Is that my sense? Yeah. So it's important that the Vedic literature is described this way. It's correct, even if it doesn't make sense to our conditioning. That's the whole point. Our conditioning is the last element of the equation. It's included in the equation. Vedic, it must be included. But it's the last, it's not the first. It starts with Veda, then with with Shruti, then with Smriti, then with how the Acharyas and the great personalities have applied that. Then us.
Yes.
But if we start with us, then what's the point?
Yes.
It wouldn't be universal.
Wouldn't be universal. No, it would be very... very, you know, specific to a particular locale on the planet. You know, each one would, you know, it's like that political cartoon is when Russia was falling apart and everyone's declaring independence. So there was a political cartoon where it had this, you know, you have that, there's that famous picture, the American one of the homestead. You know, the husband in his overalls with a pitchfork and his wife looking very plain in the house in the back. So they had the same kind of picture. You know, and it had a huge board up, you know, the independent, you know, autonomous, you know, whatever it is, territory of, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, you know, meaning their farm, you know, like that. So it was just showing that, you know, it just gets smaller and smaller, you know, until, the, you know, the teenage kid is the autonomous region of their bedroom, right, you know. It just keeps going.
Yeah.
So the whole point is it just gets that narrow. So the only way to broaden it is to add Vedanta.
Yes.
That's the only way. Just on a side point here, it's just because it sometimes comes up with the Dvaitacharya. Because the shot is the same point. The Shastras don't match. He's old. So this whole idea that he's old, that's bogus. You know what I'm saying? He plays the pastime of appearing to be, but he's not. He's ever youthful. Because it's like this. Who does the Dvaitacharya deal with? Right? Who is he the leader of which community?
Brahmins.
But we, yes, and of Brahmins?
Smartas.
We understand he's the leader of the Vaishnav community, but who is it that he can catch that others don't? Do the Smartas appreciate Lord Chaitanya?
No.
Not really, but they appreciate the Dvaitacharya. Right? Does that make sense? Just like, who takes care of the Ganas?
Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva. Does anybody else want to take care of the Ganas? No? Cramps their style. Right? You know, you don't have Ganas show up at your party. Right? Daksha Yagya didn't go so well because of that aspect. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, he takes care of those that are just too far out there in the ozone. So then one way of doing it is just by being older. Appearing as older, people respect you. Otherwise, if you're too young, there's always that thing of, you know, they don't take you seriously. You know, using it to advantage the other way is Vamanadeva. He's just a little 5-year-old kid, and not only that, he's a dwarf 5-year-old kid. Right? You understand? Indian kids are small when they're young. So, and he's a dwarf, so even smaller, right? So they're just cute. So whatever they do, even he's taking his three steps, you know, it's probably Bali Maharaj was thinking, this is cute. you understand? So you use it to advantage that way. But then the other way, then you use it like that. And then it has its effect. Does that make sense? So he's not old. He doesn't manifest these elements of the gray hair and because he's old. It's just he does it as pastime. But with Vishnu, because Vishnu means he's not Linga. We're talking Linga may do that. But Vishnu never does that. He always has just black hair. You said? Word? Yeah?
Yes. So here we have a little beard and a wig. I don't know if you're talking about
that. No, that's what I'm saying, is the beard's not a problem because that's his pastime. But it's not because he's old. The rule is he doesn't have that beard because he's old. You understand? He has it because that's his pastime. Because it does mention beards. Right? So the whole point is then the thing is it's because Vishnu never grows a beard. Right? Does that make sense? So he's growing because that's just part of the pastime. That's the uniqueness because Krishna is original, right? His first expansion. You mean, you know, it's complete self in the way of taking care of. It means, in other words, Krishna takes care of Ladini. But who's going to take care of Samvit and Sandini? That's Balaram. Right? But now you have to take care of the reflection of Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini into the material world. Right? That's Linga. So then there's a uniqueness there. So if he grows a beard, hey, that's his thing.
Similar doubt came to me the other day when we were talking about Shiva, Asada Shiva, because he's Vishnu Tattva. So the doubt was not about Tattva before.
No, yeah, yes, okay.
So it's just like Advaita for the past time would have a beard. He'll have the form of Shiva, but he is Vishnu.
Yes, because it's the mood. What is happening? What's the difference between Balaram and Mahavishnu? Right? Because he's Sankarshan, but what aspect of Sankarshan? Because Sankarshan in the Chaturvyuha, in Vaikuntha, then in Chaitanya Charitamrita it's explained that his mood is, I am God. Right? In Vrindavan, he's not thinking, I am God. Even in Golok, he doesn't really think he's God. Right? So you have majesty in Dwarka and Mathura, but he doesn't identify as God. Now and again he may take the position, but generally he doesn't. Braj, he never does that. Right? Does that make sense? So Vaikuntha, though, he thinks, I am God. So that aspect of Balaram then goes from his position all the way out to Vaikuntha, the 24 expansions, right? Now expanding from Mahasankarshan, then you get Mahavishnu. Now what's the difference in the Purusha avatars and their Bhav? Right, you have, he's the supreme enjoyer. Then there's the supreme personality of servitor Godhead, who understand, I am God. Then you have the servitor Godhead in the form of, I am the creator, the maintainer, and the destroyer. It's his mood. So therefore, that destroying mood, that's Shiva, the creating mood, that's Hiranyagarbha. Right, so that's him first. That's why he says, he's there, then he expands as these three. Right? Then then those three enter the universe. So as he expands those three, that aspect of Shiva, that's Vishnu. But as it expands into, then that's where the transformation takes place in the idea of Shiva Tattva. So Shiva Tattva is where that aspect mood of Vishnu then transforms. But at the same time as that mood of Vishnu still remains. That's the thing, is that, you know. You know, 1 + 1 = 1, 1 - 1 = 1. So you can have your milk and yogurt and still have your milk. Right? You have your milk, turn it into yogurt, but you still have milk.
Sweet deal.
Yeah.
So that aspect of Vishnu go all the way down even to Rudra, you'd keep that element throughout, even though
means the bad aspect of Vishnu, meaning that
Sadashiva.
Yes, that aspect, but it but there's a transformation from Vishnu in that mood of Linga into the to Shiva, where he's actually dealing with. Right? In other words, there's the potential to deal with, and there's the dealing. Right.
So, in other words, if I say that Adi Shiva is Sadashiva, so there's where the Vishnu qualities are mostly manifest, and then as it becomes Shambhu, then you have more of the transformation happening.
No, that's where you have the transformation.
Oh, already in Sadashiva.
No, it means the Sadashiva is still Vishnu. That's why we are saying Advaitacharya, he's Vishnu, Mahavishnu, but he's Mahavishnu in that mood of Sadashiva. There's that aspect. Because that's where you see, you could say on the Vishnu Tattva side, the extent of Linga. After that, you're dealing with Shiva Tattva. Does that make sense?
So would be Advaitacharya the form of Sadashiva?
He's Mahavishnu, they're the same. Mahavishnu means he has three moods. So those three moods combined, that's Mahavishnu. He can also expand himself, so he has three forms, one for each of those moods. But you're still dealing all with Vishnu Tattva there. Then those three extensions extend into the material world, and the Vishnu element remains as Vishnu. But the other two become Shiva and Brahma.
Okay. So then my doubt would be, what is the exact form of Sadashiva?
Sadashiva is that form that's extended from Mahavishnu.
But he looks like Shiva.
Yeah. He looks like Shiva, but he's still, yeah. That's why for us, we just deal with that aspect of Shiva. So whenever we see any deity of Shiva, we relate to him like that. Right? So that's why, but at the same time, all these activities have to be done, therefore there's the transformation here. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about mood. That's the thing, is that even in when you're talking about Vishnu Tattva, there's not actually difference, but there's difference. The point is Krishna's already performing his pastimes in Braj. Does he need another one? Do we need another Braj? No, it's already perfect. So to expand all the other aspects, in other words, all these elements are within the nature of Godhead, but to extend that, does that make sense? Then that aspect can be done all the time. Okay, let us say the man is out. He's taking depending upon how the household is, he's either taking the pickup or the station wagon. Right? Europe, they have another name for station wagon. Station wagon is the one where the back keeps going, you know, so you can stick all the groceries in there. There's a name for that?
I think it's station.
You call them station wagons. Okay. So he's going out, and he's going out and doing errands and picking up things because the wife wants him to do stuff. Okay, how does he dress?
Just like he's dressed.
You know, it's more casual. It's in other words, to get the general things done. Okay? Now, the whole point is, but he has to change to do that. But this way, Krishna, he can stay at home with the wife and go out and get all the errands done. Right? And go out and go to work and bring in all the money. You understand? And be out in the backyard mowing the lawn. you understand? So it's him. He's just doing so. Therefore, it's him that's doing all these things. So it's Nishinga Day. It's him. It's just he's doing this aspect. It's not a different person. We make too much of the mood. Yes, the mood is different. But that's because that's where you can express that. But it's not that Nrisimhadev can't interact with you as Braja Krishna. It's just that Braja Krishna is that sweetness, so therefore the form of Nrisimha is not the right form. But it's still the same person. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, or it's how you say, you know, some kind of a, you have some a party one has a mask on or something, you know, and then you meet a really close friend like that, you know, if you're over in the corner, you might take the mask off so you can interact, and then get back to the party, put your mask on. Understand? That's the whole thing. It means, in other words, there's a difference because the mood, but at the same time, there's no difference. It's the same person. So, because Krishna can deal with all these, therefore, there's a form as Shiva who is still Vishnu because it's his mood. Then he transforms, and so naturally, he still looks like Shiva. Right? Because that's the mood in which he can deal with that, but he still is dealing with Ramadevi. Does that make sense? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Being an expansion of Mahavishnu, should we understand that Sadashiva has four arms?
We'll see. It's coming up. We'll get it. Yeah. So I'm not sure if we go... He goes through the levels. Yes. Next year. Like that. Because next year is all about the Dham. Which place is the superior? Then the year after will be which devotee. Because there's, it means we have three volumes, but it's Briya Bhagavatamrita is two books.
Yeah.
So we'll study one book next year and the next book the next. Okay. Therefore, the statement of the Vishnu Purana, Ujjaharatmana Keshav Sita Krishnav Maha Mune, should be understood in the following way. The word Atmana means from himself. The word Keshav means the two incarnations, Vasudeva and Sankarsana, who have black and white complexions, and the word Ujjahara means manifested. The entire statement means, the Lord then appeared as Vasudeva and Sankarsana, who have black and white complexions. He manifested two hairs to show he was manifest from the from these two personalities, Krishna and Balaram. Right, so it's not that if he does it, he manifested. It's not that he had a white hair and then he took out a white hair. Because so that's why he's saying you can't take that as an interpretation, because otherwise that means he already had a white hair. But Vishnu never has white hairs. Right? We only hear Srivatsa as a white hair. But other than that, it's only black hair. Just as by seeing one face of the Mount Sumeru, one can understand the nature of the entire mountain. In the same way, by properly understanding this verse from Vishnu Purana, one will be able to know the actual nature of Lord Krishna's appearance in the material world. An explanation of the verses from Mahabharata quoted above is as follows. In these verses, the word Udva Varhe means that the Lord appears by his own mystic potency. The word cha also refers the reader to the demigod's prayers recorded in the previous verses. The word api, even, in connection with the word udvavarhe, manifested, quote, even if Krishna and Balaram had appeared from Lord Vishnu, indicate that in reality, Vasudeva and Sankarsana are emanations of Krishna and Balaram, who act separately from but on behalf of Rama and Krishna. But it says, but even if, means they didn't. Because when you explain something, you say it's like this. But even if it was like how you were saying, which is not the correct way, it still would work out. You know. So makes sense. Because, yeah. Yeah, because Vasudeva and Sankarsan, they performed the work on behalf of Rama and Krishna anyway. Even if it was the other way around, still, it's who's doing work for who. Right, yeah. Krishna Sandarbha Anucheda 63 moves the exhaustive discussion about Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.26, etc. forward to dispose of doubts about why Purushottam Lila Sri Krishna personally descends into the world. Now let us consider why exhaustive? Why does it have to be exhaustive?
It's a conclusion, right?
The conclusion that's there? Remove all doubts. But why? How do people bring up doubts? Means the real crux of the arguments, if someone has a doubt about a verse, what does it boil down to?
Their attachments? Their attachment?
No, the attachment will be there. That's what drives it. But what do they use as their tool of... That's there. I'm talking, that's the quality. But what tool do they use to actually try to affect their argument?
Intelligence.
Intelligence is there.
Logic. Krishna does it.
No, but they.
No, no, no. But what are they? Okay, let's try to logic. But in logic, is they're arguing over what? Authority, but the meaning of a particular word. You understand? Because if you say something, then they'll say, oh, but that word doesn't mean this, it means that. Because the point is you only have so many words you're working with. The verse has a certain amount of words. So that it all comes down to the semantics of the word. That's why the acharyas take it down to that level. Because it's not that, oh, just people today do that. People have always done that. Anybody with a scholarly mind that's not in line with the scriptures and is not in line with Vaishnava Vedanta will do this. Does that make sense? Because you do have those whose conditioning is in line with the scriptures. So basically, he's dealing on that level. Because why we consider this exhaustive, because it's more than what we would deal. Because then, as we said, the word is used as the tool, but the actual force behind it is the insecurity, the attachments, you know, all these other, the false ego. But so we're not dealing in passion in goodness, we're dealing in passion ignorance. But here you have people who can function in goodness and actually discuss the word on the word's merit, but because of their own similar attachments, identity, though in mode of goodness and accepting Shastra, they come up with different, you know, mode of goodness ideas rather than pure goodness ideas. Does that make sense? So now what does this show from this discussion? That even, as Brahma says, having mode of goodness perceptions not good enough. You have to have mode of pure goodness perception. That's good. So, therefore, then we can easily discount mode of passion and ignorance perspective. You know, so it's just like, say, you know, it's like a, how you say it? If the fat horse can't do it, you know, if we have, what do you call it, what is this called? Clydesdale. If we have this big, healthy Clydesdale horse, you know, is the Shetland pony going to be able to do it? No. So that's the whole. Yeah. Okay. Now let us consider the following statements of Lord Krishna, Lord Brahma, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.26. In this verse, Lord Brahma says, quote, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is superior to everyone, including even the all-pervading Supersoul, and who cannot be perfectly understood by me or anyone else, will appear in this world and perform many transcendental activities in order to lessen the burden of the earth. So he's making a distinction between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his expansion as Supersoul. Lord Brahma also says, the Lord who has beautiful black hair is accompanied by his plenary portion. That the demigods were able to see the Lord in his plenary portion, who both have beautiful black hair, is confirmed in the verses from Vishnu Purana and Mahabharata previously quoted. We may also note in this connection that the plenary, quote-unquote, plenary portion mentioned in this verse refers to Lord Balaram, the Supreme Lord's constant companion. And so the Lord's always there with his... Because otherwise, how do you... If you want to have a pastime, then you have to have the arrangements. Right? So then, what is the point of the arrangements? Why have good arrangements?
Supports the pastime.
Supports the pastime. And what will you get from having nice arrangements?
Direction.
Direction and
interaction.
Yeah, interaction. And then what do you want from interaction?
Rasa.
Rasa. Enjoyment. You know? So therefore you have to have you change the situation, the variety in the situation, you change the variety in the taste. Right, so that means you have to have both focuses. So Krishna is focused on what will be the flavor gained in that situation, and Balaram focuses on the arrangements for that situation to happen in. But at the same time, he is cause himself, Balaram. Right? If with Krishna, he's effect. But on his own, he's cause. Therefore, he has his own rasa leelas and his own interactions. And, you understand? But he's cause for, you know, Mahavishnu, who's effect. And Mahavishnu is cause for you know, the other extensions of for Garbhadaksha Vishnu or for Sadashiva, who are effect. You understand? So it always, yeah. Yes.
So the statement Sarvakarana Karanam applies to Krishna only exclusively.
That's the whole thing that we're bringing out here. Is that, in other words, the uniqueness of Bhagavatam, why is Bhagavatam being brought out? Because we'll take it, because it's worship, well, generally we'll say it's because it's worship of Vishnu, worship of Krishna. You know, like that, we'll take it from that more generic. And that, but at the same time is the other Vaishnava Sampradayas, they all accept Vishnu as supreme. But for them, Bhagavatam is not their main book. So what's the uniqueness of Bhagavatam? It brings out the original Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, as Braja Krishna, as the original personality of Godhead. So he is everything, all the expansions. But still, there's the origin. So that's what we're bringing out. You know, so that also adds to the difficulty here. You know, is that, you know, we're still wrestling with, I'm not God, right? You know? And so, okay, so Vishnu's God, I'm not God. Or Krishna's God, I'm not God. But then there's the element that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He's the original flavor. Right? Yes. So then you add double, you know. Yes.
Like that. Yes. Well, I don't know, previous point about Balaram and Krishna. In class, there was an interesting argument, like the reflection in the material world, like the jiva. If it's not free from all desires, it has to stay here.
Because, free from all material desire.
Yeah,
yes.
Because then, for every desire, you need a machine.
Yes.
And the machine is the body. So
yes. Yes, yeah. and the bodies. That's why when we refer to the field of action, it simply says the body. We could say, well, what about everything else? But everything else is the support for the body. You know what I'm saying? So how do you relate with everything else? It's through the body. So that's the thing. Your field is based on your body. Like, let's say someone's blind. So what is his field? Right? Yeah. The hearing and everything like that. Does that make sense? These things go. So it is based on the body you have. That's why you can just simply say it's the body. Right? But at the same time, is then we extend that the body then means, you know, the house, the family, the land, the position, the money, that all these things. Like that? Is that something? So it comes. Yes. So that's the point. So if you have no material desire, you don't require a material body. But if you have no spiritual desire, you don't require a spiritual body. So that's why the impersonalists, they have neither material or spiritual desire. So therefore, they have no body.
So in that case, it's in the karma link.
Yes, they remain in the karma link. So then, because you have to have some form. So that's all, because I'm the controller and enjoyer. I want to enjoy not having any desire. Right? There's the idea I'll enjoy, you know, but what will you enjoy with? So it's only the karma sharir. So it gets. So then, if you cultivate, therefore, always remembering Krishna. In other words, never forget Krishna means giving up all the material. Always remember Krishna means accepting all the spiritual. Then you develop naturally the spiritual form. So it's a very, very direct, logical, straightforward science. Right? It means, in other words, this is the science. All other sciences are derivative of bhakti. Bhakti is the actual science. Because the point is bhakti means you have to have a place. Okay? And in this place, what should we have in the place? Okay? So it makes it interesting if there's living entities of the water, of the land, and of the air. Right? So now, you know, if you're going to have, you know, living entities of the water, you require what? Some water. Okay? So now you can have lakes, you can have have rivers, you can have, you understand, ocean, there's different ways you can add. Now ground, then what kind of ground do you need?
Fields, mountains.
Yeah, this and that. Otherwise, if you only have moors, all you're going to get is Grendel. Right? So you want to have a variety. Right? So, you know, so that's why you have to have these different aspects. So then you get, and then if you have living entities of the air, then you require
space
and
trees.
You know, but the trees work good for other people, you know, because they like being under the trees, like that. You understand? So it's a perfect plan. So now that's what makes up the Dham and everything. But now you reflect that here. Now the thing is you do have trees, birds, how birds fly, and all this and that. Then they get into all these derivative sciences here. But all it is they're just studying the Sundini, you know, potency. Yeah. Some get into some of the social, so the Samvit potency. But these are all just aspects of the original form of bhakti. So it is the sun. You understand that. You do understand all things. So when we say that, it's not just sentiment. You know what I'm saying? This is not just a religious sentiment that this is what we're talking, hard science here. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of how well you know the science to be able to apply it into different ways. It's just like someone who, let's say, is an inventor. Technically, are they inventing as far as the fundamental mechanics anything new? Mm-hmm. No, because it's still going to be a wheel, a lever, you know, basically, did I leave something out?
Duct tape.
Okay. Yeah. Wheel, a lever, and duct tape, right? Chewing gum, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's old fashioned. Right? So duct tape's more up to date. Yeah. Elbow grease. Okay. So you add, but now, what happened?
They just combined.
They combined it in a unique way. So they didn't actually invent something new. They invented, as far as fundaments go, they invented variety. In other words, they brought out a different variety. We understand what's happening here?
Yes.
So what it is that you understand the science of bhakti, and according to your own ability, you'll be able to extend it to see its functioning in all these other areas of life. That's how the devotee sees Krishna everywhere. Right? Because
bring it back also. When you catch people out there where they are.
Yeah, then you can bring it. So you can take it either way. You can take from where you're out to them or from them back into. So that's either way it works. Right? So it's either start with always remember Krishna or never forget. So it works very nicely. So you can see. So that's what we're meaning. Preaching means taking the Vedanta philosophy and then applying it to the person in their situation so they can see the connection. Right? So the soft element is being considered of their position so that you use examples presentation that they can appreciate. But this idea that you have to change or leave anything out, that's just lack of understanding, lack of maturity, lack of experience. That's all. But it's not that they're not addressing someone else's. They're saying, no, but this one did this, and that one did that, and that one didn't like it. And they're addressing something real. But the solution is just as unreal as what they're addressing. You know what I'm saying? The pendulum is on the right. You swing it to the left. It doesn't make it any better. Right? I look at it from this way. There's right and there's left. What if I go on the other side and look at it? Where's left? It's on the right. Because it's very strict. Now, you know, like in some circles, there's only limited ways I can, let's say, refer to the female within the species. You know what I'm saying? So, means and limited means extremely limited. Right? You know, I can't say Miss, I can't say Mrs., I can't say Hey Lady, you know, I can't say, you know, so many other things we won't get into. I have to say Ms. or, you know, whatever is the, you know, the accepted term. How narrow is that?
Very narrow.
So how narrow is the conservative? probably a little broader than that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So how is that a change? All it is we've changed the focus.
Yes.
And put it somewhere else. So within the material, there's no such thing technically as an improvement. Because to improve one thing means you have to give up another. So that's the whole thing. So the benefits of one position are lost. You get benefits of the new position, but you lose the benefits of the old. Only in bhakti can you get it, because it being in, actually in the middle, does it actually gain the benefits of both. Because the middle is the actual position. You know, you're saying you take the, so in the middle is the original, then you take it and extend it, you can extend to the right or to the left. Right? And when you overextend, then you get conservative and liberal. But it's also considered a non-ideal term, overextended. Right? So if it's overextended, it's considered not in its perfect position. So anything other than Vaishnava Vedanta, it's overextended. To what degree? That's there.
Sometimes we hear in the common world that, like, a person who has joined the Hare Krishna, he went outside and he's like, you know, like...
Yeah, we are outside. You know, we're in the spiritual world. So that is outside the material world. So yes, so see, even in there, it means that they're thoughtful. They've understood. So you have to give them credit.
All right.
We would agree with that.
Perspective on that is that by only being on the derivative sciences, they can't actually appreciate the real science. Which
So if that's the real thing, then how is the scientist getting his knowledge? Is he the one taking the medicine, or is the rat the one taking the medicine? Who's taking the medicine?
The rat.
So therefore, how does this, by that logic, then all modern science would not have any basis. In other words, you're observing it from the outside, therefore you get the best perspective. So we're observing the material world from the outside. We get the best perspective. So we're scientific. They're the rats. White rats, of course, not ordinary rats. We're not talking about, you know, garbage rats here. We're talking about nice, clean, white lab rats here.
We're not savages.
Yes. Does that make sense? So the whole thing is it is correct. That's what freaks them out, is that we're outside. They don't have control. They can't, you know, it's just like, I don't know, anybody had the experience, you can compare when you walk down the street dressed in contemporary clothes and walk down the street dressed as a devotee, how people look at you. You're dressed as a devotee, you're in another world. They're looking at you from this side to that side. If you're dressed in a contemporary dress, you're part of their world, and they're checking out to see, are you superior or junior to them? Like that. You know, everybody. They're just like that. So that's the whole point, is that, yes, we are, not, and we're happy that way. Who wants to be part of that world? Just like saying is, you know, hey, you know, you know, wow, he's outside, you know, the teenage high school world. You know, is that a bad thing? You know, so what do you mean? So, and even if they say outside, which one? The guy works down at the docks, he goes to his pub, he goes home with his wife. Anything more? Did I leave out something in his world?
Fish and chips.
Okay, fish and chips. You know? You know what I'm saying? So, does he go to the opera? You know? Like that, you know? Is he reading the classics?
Depending on...
he might, but I mean, if you go into old world, they work. I remember one devotee was telling his father, he owned a fishing boat, so he was a fisherman. And he would go out on this boat. But he had all these classes. So that's what he'd do. He'd go out and read. I mean, what do you do all day? The nets are out. What do you do? You know? So he would read. So he was, even though he's a fisherman, he was really, really knowledgeable. you know, huge, wide range of subjects, so he could discuss anything. He was efficient, because if you're out in there, you know, who's going to harass you? Right? You know, you're independent, you know. It's like no one to bother you. So you know, that was his way of the, you know, his, how you say, you know, bit of a, you know, Malecha way of solving the problem. But the you know, so, but in general, that's his world. Okay, let's say someone's a fashionista. What world they're in? You know, but they don't go to certain areas of the town or deal with certain. So this whole idea is no, but you're not in the world. Which one? And like that, if you ask the the social anthropologist, there'll be so many of these worlds. And many of these worlds on very rare points connect, you know, except for maybe in the subway or something. Yeah. You know, and because of that, there's people that never take the subway. They only stay on the surface in their limo. You're not about to go, you know, like that. And if your limo's busy, okay, you take a taxi. You don't go down under there with the, you know, with all the white rats, you know. It's just you stay away from that. Right? So that's the whole thing, is that what world? So this whole idea is, no, about the world, experience it. What world? So why isn't this part of the world? You know, and they're talking about the world. We're talking about the universe. So we're talking about the cosmos. Experience the cosmos. You know. So it's like, you know, cosmos already includes universe, already includes world. You know, already includes their particular little, you know, xenophobic little circle.
Yeah. So we should advertise experience the cosmos with Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah. That would be the whole point. If you want to do this stuff, do it. You know, you know what I'm saying? If you want to use their technique, we use it like that. You know, you don't have to use it like that. There's a principle of just being in their face, making it so we can do the same thing. So that would be good. Experience the cosmos. Yes. Use Srimad Bhagavatam.
Stay high forever,
because yeah. Stay high forever. Yeah. Even back in the 90s, they used to have, I think, Sahoji Maharaj and Guru Grahi Maharaj, because they were from that earlier time, so they would have the Stay High Forever kirtans in the park.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right? You know, so now it's like you had the formal arrangement of the what do you call it? The kirtan mela. But they'd just go out, sit in the park, and they'd start kirtan, and whoever's interested would come, and there would be quite a bit of a, you know, scene there. Not that many, but they would go, same principle. That was always the, you know, so 24/7 kirtan mela, that's our standard. So whenever we can officially arrange it, then we do. Yes?
Maybe a little off topic. Is there any manifestation of Prajumna and Aniruddha in Braj?
Prajumna and Aniruddha in Braj?
Yes, I mean that.
Yes. Prajumna is called Madan Mohan, and Aniruddha is called Gopijana Vallabha. So that's the. Like that. Or Krishna. So Krishna Govinda and Gopijana Vallabha.
So it's even moves?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what it is.
No expansion.
Yeah. So everything's there, and then expands outwards more obvious. Therefore, it's all so nicely blended that everything, that's why it has its unlimited variety. There's the greatest variety is in Braj, because the subtlety, because you have everything already included. In this connection, someone may raise the following doubt. If Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, superior even to the Purusha incarnations, then why does he descend to the material world to perform such an insignificant activity as removal of the earth's burden? Right? Because if creation, maintenance, and destruction is Mahavishnu's, or all the Purusha avatars.
Yes.
Right? So, getting rid of the burden of the earth, that's, you know, you use the destructive element to maintain the proper, you know, and then you produce a better quality, you know, so why does... To this I reply. So this is Jiva Goswami, Bhagavatam commentary. Lord Krishna does not appear in this material world simply to lessen the earth's burden. The earth's burden may be removed by the Lord's plenary incarnation, or simply by the Lord's wishing it, right? Just he desires it, it will happen. So that means his energy will take care of it, So, yeah. He does not have to appear in this world to lessen the earth's burden. Sri Krishna appears in this world in order to manifest his pastimes with the devotees, which are full of transcendental sweetness. Lord Sri Krishna appears to delight the devotees of whom the Lord's lotus feet are more dear than life, and to shower his own transcendental sweetness in this world. So that's the point he does. This is on the side, because technically, even when he does this thing, he does it expanded as Vasudeva. Like that, because it doesn't require,
much.
Yeah, like that. Some of these transcendental pastimes are described in the following verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.27. There's no doubt about Lord Krishna's being the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, how is it possible for him to kill a giant demon like Putana when he was just on the lap of his mother? To overturn a cart with his leg when he was only 3 months old? To uproot a pair of Arjuna trees so high that they touch the sky when he was only crawling? All these activities are impossible for anyone other than the Lord himself. Lord Krishna's plenary portion could have performed these actions, or the Lord could have performed them simply by wishing them to be done. He did not have to personally perform them. The charm of these pastimes lies in the fact that although these extraordinary activities cannot be performed by any ordinary person, the Lord performed them as a tiny child. So, in other words, he's still using the human element. What is the human element? Why we say human pastimes? Right?
Does that make sense?
Because otherwise we think we have to be, how do you say, we should contemplate this element of what it means, human. Because is Indra human? I'm wondering, he's superhuman, but is the form that, he's got a head, two arms, two legs. Okay, he's got a few extra eyes. Okay, so that, what I'm saying? Brahma's human, right? So all these, the demons are human. So human means human here, right? This aspect of human. Because the aspect human here, how do they do things? Just by endeavor. It's not by mystic powers. It's not by all these other aspects. You understand? So when we think of mystic power, the person doesn't have to do something other than, what's the technical just to do that. Does that make sense? Someone sits down in meditation, and through the meditation it happens, or by chanting a mantra, or understand like that. So there is, of course, some endeavor, but it's very minimal. But the human endeavor means you have to use the human skills, right? In other words, the arts, to apply it. So the human knowledge and human skills. Well, not human, human way, means the knowledge and skills that are meant for humans. Okay? So within that, you get the greatest variety, right? Because there's the whole endeavor. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah, it's just like there's not an advantage. Let's say you had two, teenage punks with, great mystic powers. it gets boring after a while. What else are you going to do? One gets bigger, one gets more muscle. Like I said, bigger muscle than that. You call that muscle. I'll show you muscle. You think that's big. I'll show you big. After a while, it's that they'll be so big and so far out, it's kind of like, okay, nice. But, what's in it for anybody else? Does that make sense? But when Krishna does it, he does it through the human, natural human endeavor. He may do it in an amazing way. It's just like the cart. He could have done it in so many ways. Mm-hmm. But he just kicks it with his foot because he's a baby. And babies kick their feet. That's what babies do. Mm-hmm. Right? Babies, when they move, basically their feet and their arms move all at once. Right? They don't make a distinction. Right? So like that. But it has that mystic element to it. But it's attractive because of the human pastime. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that he does it through the human presentation. That's what makes it so wonderful. Right? Does that make sense?
That's the specialness. So that's what's attractive. So as we see, we come up is in Brudge, they think in this human way. So they don't think that they're not here. Right? Because for them, there is no material world. You understand? Because what is the material world? Material world is our perspective that there's something separate from Krishna. That's the material world. Right? Yes. So therefore, then there is no material world for it. But there is the aspect of that, you know, how things are done. Does that make sense? So they don't make a distinction between the two. Does that make sense? We make the distinction. Oh, but that's in the material world. No, they're not. The Brudge is never in the material world. There's a manifestation of Brudge in the material world, but it's never in the material world. Right? It's the spiritual world. So it's our vision that is the weak point. Right, so therefore, it's the charm of these passages. It lies in the fact that although these extraordinary activities cannot be performed by any ordinary person, of course, the Lord performed them as a tiny child. How a child does that. Right? He sucked the milk from Putana's breast. Killed her that way. You know.
So should we always be thinking like that or not? Because
thinking like which? Thinking that there is no material world and it's all Krishna's energy and it's all to be engaged in his service? Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. If the Lord had not wished to charm and delight his devotees, he would not have personally performed such activities as a small child. This is the actual reason the Lord performed these pastimes, is to charm the devotees. Because otherwise he does amazing things. You know, because otherwise Putana comes there and shows her prowess, and then he says, you know, you think you got prowess, I'm the Supreme Lord, and shows something, and then she'll take on a bigger demon form, and then he'll take on a bigger form, and, you know, and then that happens every time.
Here we go again.
You know, it's like Trina Bharta. You call that whirlwinding? I'll show you whirlwinding. I mean, what point is it? So that's the whole thing. It doesn't. You know, you call that a snake? You know, so that's the whole thing. Is that it? There's a limit. So the point is when you go beyond a certain amount, it loses the charm. So Krishna is so perfect; he knows how much to use. To that maintains the charm, the sweetness. That's why he's special. That's the uniqueness, the sweetness of Brush. It always maintains that charm.
The rasa is prominent always.
Yes, the rasa is always the point.
Mahat.
Yes.
In Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu, he is also kind of human, or they use more mystical.
But no, but there is four-handed and the majesty, he's God. So, you know, so it's that means, in other words, It's the human form, not the human of this place. You understand? So of all the places, technically, who has the least power? No. Who has the least power? Which place?
The earth.
The earth.
Yeah.
Because below this, it's the lower heavenly planets. That's where the demons live. They're not going to settle for what we got. You know? They want more than what the demigods have. And the demigods are, you know, what's the point of being a demigod if you don't have some special? So we're the one that has the least. So now according to our reflective, the aspect of the fundament of reflectiveness in our philosophy. Mm-hmm. So it's the lowest here. Where does it place it on the other side? It's the highest. Because therefore it has the most element of charm. So all it is human life is, you know, is take the charm out of it and you got what we have. Yeah. Okay. This is the actual reason the Lord performed these pastimes. Lord Brahma continued. Krishna's lila is most wonderful. So many of those amazing pastimes are enacted during Krishna's tender boyhood years. To our imperfect eyes, Krishna may seem to be just an innocent child, but his pastimes, like the killing of Putana and the lifting of Govardhan Hill, right? Yeah, he could have just sat back and just it would have raised on its own, or Sudarshan could have stepped away. Otherwise, he could have just by his desire, you know, blinked and Indra would have been gone flying into space and would still be, you know, making that sound, you know, as he's going off. And, you know, it's just all these different things are there. You know, but he didn't. He lifted a mountain, because when it rains, what do?
You lift a mountain. Umbrella.
Yeah, put an umbrella. Of course.
That's not what you do.
You always carry your own mountain around with you. Sometimes it's hard to find mountains. From the hotel, you know.
Especially in Bengal.
And then where do you put it when you get into the taxi? You just put it in the roof.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, that's the problem. We'll have to work on that. Okay. So his lifting of Govardhan Hill baffled even the great demigods like Brahma and Indra. Brahma tells Narada of Sri Krishna's baby pastime of kicking over a heavily loaded cart that collapsed upon the hidden demon. Now, we may say, but it was just a cart. But the point is, there's a demon there. Right, and these demons generally aren't, this wasn't like the whipped cream demon or something, you know, that just you stick a bunch of nursery school kids on him and they eat him and he's gone or something, you know. The demons are powerful, so that means the amount of stuff on the cart that the cart being kicked over is enough to kill the demon. Right? Plus, you throw into that the Lord's desire and his kick, you know. So if Balaram can kill someone with a blade of grass just by touching them,
yes.
You know, we're not talking about mantra and turning it into something. He just took a blade of grass and just touched them and killed them. So you do have that element also. But the point is it's something significant. So therefore, and it wasn't that he kicked it. He just touched it. He's just moving his legs and he just touches the cart and then it collapses on the demon and kills him.
Yes.
So heavily loaded cart that collapsed upon a hidden demon. And Krishna's pulling down the twin Arjuna trees, which set two demigods free from a curse. The Arjuna trees, you know, come up is that these were, you know, planted, you know, I mean, they were there long from before. Now Arjuna, you've probably seen Arjuna, like these ones on the outside edge of the school, these are Arjuna. But these are small, you know, so they're quite slow growing, very hard wood. But when they get big, then they get, I forget what they call them, buttresses. You know, it means the tree gets these like fins that come off to hold it up. So it's not like regular trees, like you see these ones that they used to be there on the road, like Fulia and these places like that. Big, huge, you know, they might be, I don't know, like a, I don't know, what could it be?
Meter and a half in diameter.
Yeah, meter and a half in diameter or something, you know, like that. So those are hundreds of years old. These are, they don't get, they get these buttresses coming off of them. So even more hard to push over. You understand?
Yeah.
So when it talks about how he pulled down the Arjuna trees, it wasn't just two, you know, pleasantly little trees in the backyard. These are these Arjunas that have these huge buttresses. It's just like, how does anybody pull them over? You know, the only other time we hear this is, you hear Bhima and them, they're pulling up trees and using them as gloves. You know, but I think there was a 4,000-year-old Devdaru tree planted. Where was it planted? In Mahiravana's kingdom. So 4,000-year-old Devdaru, it would be big, right? And so Hanuman used that as a weapon, you know, for fighting. So, yeah. But otherwise, you don't hear Bhima, you hear Balaram, you know, like this Hanuman. But here, baby Krishna, just crawling pulls him up. These others, they're showing feats of strength.
Right.
growing big and showing, you know, I mean, but here Krishna's just as a baby, just crawling, you know, how babies crawl. It's not like he gets in the tree and like this, you know, he just gets in, he's just crawling and it just pulls the trees off. So it's still charming. Because if he's there and pulling, then everybody would get worried. But he just keeps walking and pulls the trees off. So they're just looking at him and so cute and the trees fall over. Right, because the boys didn't get scared. They're told afterwards, otherwise they would have gotten scared. But they didn't get scared. They just, no, Krishna was just crawling and pulled the trees off. When his friends accidentally swallowed the poisonous water of the Jamuna, which had become dangerous because of Kali's serpent lurking under water there, Krishna immediately revived them by his glance only. Right? So it means because of affection. You know, it wasn't one of these, you know, with the little spinning, you know, right? The little kind of, yeah, okay. Then he entered with Jamuna's waters and fought within Jamuna's waters and fought Kaliya until he surrendered to the Lord. Krishna saved his little friends from a forest fire just by closing his eyes. Mother Jashoda thought Krishna needed a lesson in discipline after he stole yogurt. She tied him to a grinding mortar, but no matter how much rope she used, it was always 2 inches too short, right? You know, he could have showed the universal form there, or this or that. No, but it's just, it was 2 inches short, so then they just keep going and going and going. Yeah. Lord Krishna saved his foster father, Nandamars, from the fear of the demigod Varuna. He released the cowherd boys from the caves of the mountain and to the hard-working inhabitants of Vrindavan who work hard during daytime and sleep soundly at night because of their labors. Lord Krishna awarded promotion to the highest planet in the spiritual sky. But they sleep soundly because they're doing, you know, they're doing their duties, they're doing things properly, but they're absorbed in Krishna. So even when they're sleeping, they're dreaming about Krishna and thinking about Krishna. All these acts were transcendental and certainly prove right, promotion of the highest planet, because the pastimes are performed here, who are involved in the pastimes here, who are absorbed, then they go to Goloka. Right? But it's the same mood, same everything. It's not that there's a change. All these acts are transcendental and certainly prove without any doubt his godhood. For 7 days, the Lord protected Vrindavan Dham and his population of humans and animals from Indra's wrath by holding Govardhan Hill up for 7 days during the rains of devastation. When the Lord was engaged in his pastimes of the rasa dance in the forest of Vrindavan, enlivening the sexual desires of the wives of the inhabitants of Vrindavan by sweet and melodious song, a demon of the name Shankachuda, a rich follower of the treasure of heaven, Kuvera, kidnapped the damsels, right? So where did the problem come up here with Shankachuda? Right? He's a rich follower of the treasure. So what did that richness cause? Pride. Right? So then pride, then what's the next thing one's interested in?
Enjoy.
So women and intoxication, right? That's the next thing. When pride is there, these are the next two things that naturally come up. Right? So that you get into. Right, so and like Kuvera's sons, that pride, and what were they doing? Enjoying with women while they were intoxicated.
Yeah.
Right. So intoxication makes you, in which mode?
Ignorance.
Okay. And if you're walking around with no clothes on, where you shouldn't be walking around with no clothes on, the next birth is as a, which is in which mode?
Ignorance.
You see how it matches?
Yeah.
It's so nicely done. That's why. Even this art, when it says that Munis can curse, it means that you can put these things together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that you can curse. I mean, that you just have to go down, you know, to so many places you can go, you know, like that. You know, they're some choice words are there, but okay. Kidnapped the damsels, and the Lord severed his head from his trunk. Footnote 11. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to verse 33. We should carefully note that the statements described herein are the statements of Brahmaji to Narada. and he's speaking to a narrative of events that would happen in the future during the event of Lord Krishna. The pastimes of the Lord are known to the experts who are able to see past, present, and future. And Brahmaji, being one of them, foretold what would happen in the future. The killing of Shankarachuda by the Lord is a more recent incident after the Rasalila and not exactly a simultaneous affair. In the previous verses, we have seen also that the Lord's engagement in the affairs of the forest fire was described along with his pastimes of punishing the Kaliya snake. And similarly, the pastimes of the Rasa dance and the killing of Shankarachuda are also described herein. The adjustment is that all these incidents would take place in the future, after the time when it was being foretold by Brahmaji to Narada. Right, so this is in the beginning of the creation. He's talking about how these pastimes happen. Because he's able to see. So in other words, when he's seeing in the Brahma, the Brahma Samhita, he's seeing all that. So these are all the aspects that he's seeing. Right. So Brahma Samhita in that fifth chapter, he's just giving that essence like that. And then here, then everything else is being described. So they may be put kind of together. So but that's the point is that these are what's happening in the future. Yes.
Why is this coming after Purushottam? Is there any connection?
The Purusha Shukta then is confirming the primary creation, how the primary creation is the basis of the secondary. Right? And so then within that next, within Brahma's creation, that's where then Lord Krishna appears, with his internal potency. Does that make sense? So naturally you're setting the field. If you want to set the field here, you have to set, how does this connect back to the Lord? Because we just say it happened here on Earth, but where did Earth come from? Where does this concept come from? How does all this function? Right? How do you get all the variety? Why is there singing and dancing? Right? Because the Lord wants to sing. The Lord wants to dance. Therefore, these things are there. Does that make sense? Yeah. Krishna killed many, many demons like Pralamba, Denuka, Baka, Keshi, Arista, Chanura, Mustika, Kuvalyapida elephant, Kamsa, Yavana, Narakasura, and Pandraka. He killed great marshals like Salva, Dravida monkey, and Balvala. He killed Dantavakra, the seven bulls, Sambara, Vidurata, and Rukmi, as well as great warriors like Kamboja, Matsya, Kuru, Srinjaya, and Kekaya, who all fought with him vigorously, either with him directly or with him by his other names, like Baladeva, Arjuna, Bhima, etc. Right? Because they're all incarnations because they're all empowered. They're either expansions or they're empowered. Right? So that... The departing souls of all these demons attain either the impersonal Brahma Jyoti or his personal abode in the pastimes of Vaikuntha. 26-35. Srila Prabhupada comments on Sri Krishna's pastimes. Who could play such wonders without being God? The Supreme Lord's literary avatar, Srila Vyasadeva, mercifully made study of the Vedic literature easier for the people of the age of Kali by dividing up Shastra very scientifically. In a different age of Kali than the one we are in now, the mission of Lord Buddha is to preach nonviolence to a race of demons who roam about the night sky in invisible spacecraft to attack, kill, and plunder the inhabitants of other planets. Footnote 12. In his purport to verse 37, Srila Prabhupada confirms that this incarnation of Lord Buddha is not the same Buddha incarnation we have in the present history of mankind. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the Buddha incarnation mentioned in this verse appeared in a different Kali age. In the duration of life of one Manu, there are more than 72 Kali Yugas. And in one of them, the particular type of Buddha mentioned here would appear. Lord Buddha incarnates at a time when the people are most materialistic and preaches common sense religious principles. Such ahimsa is not a religious principle itself, but is an important quality for persons who are actually religious. Right? So that's why it's called sub-religion. Mm-hmm. Right? So we see here, Buddha preached sub-religion. Right? Jesus preached sub-religion. These are all the qualities of someone that someone should have who is religious. Yes. So you have to start somewhere. Because if the person is violent, then how will he properly perform his duties?
Yes.
So he has to be non-violent. Then he can properly perform his duties. And the performance of duties are meant to please the Lord.
Hmm.
Yes.
Which mode is that religion?
Which
mode?
Means the qualities themselves are always, you know, have their origin in transcendence. Though what we're talking about in sub-religion is the mode of goodness element. But generally, why are people interested in the qualities of sub-religion?
To get results.
To get results. So there is that aspect of passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the problem. But the point is, and what's the purpose of getting the results?
Enjoyment.
So therefore, ignorance. It goes down into anamoy. So that's the difficulty, is that pranamoy, its purpose is anamoy. All you do is cover it so it doesn't look like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the whole point, is that it must be covered. Therefore, all this political correctness and, you know, newspeak and all that kind of stuff. That's to cover your actual intent of sense gratification when you're presenting these seeming higher qualities of, you know, being good and wholesome and
fraternity.
Yeah, fraternity, equity, like this.
Yes.
But that's the whole point. But the point is that I'm going to be happy this way. And people who are important to me are going to be happy. That's all. It's not really that the quality itself on its own is the most important, because if we just take the thing purely on its own, then selflessness means nothing's for you.
Mm.
So that means you won't even have anything. You won't have a place to stay, you won't have nothing. So anybody's taking it to that extreme? One or two. But they profess it. But at that point, people don't follow it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Right? So when it's just when it's meager, no one follows it. When it's too extreme, no one follows it. So when it's a little more balanced in the middle, that's when it catches on. You know what I'm saying? So to be able to catch that balance, that's what you see is this expertise. Buddha's doing this, Jesus doing these great personalities, they're able to do this. Catch a balance that makes pranamoya look attractive. You know, in other words, the benefits are so great, one's willing to give up anamoya for it. Right? You can see that it really benefits the cooperation, the social interaction, the community, spirit, all these things increase. But we see in Dharma, then it's mode of goodness. You're doing because you're supposed to do it. It's not about the results you're going to get. You can do it that way, but then it's mixed. Right? So then it's mixed down. Then it's, you're just supposed to do it. And the real point is it should be going the other way. I'm doing my Dharma because by doing my Dharma in Naishkarmya, then I, the soul, can get freed from the material entanglement. So that's now now that's a more dynamic direction. The other one will get there, because if you do the Dharma, you'll get the Artha, so therefore you have the Kama, and then you'll find out it really wasn't worth it, so you want Moksha. But then the problem is you don't, the character for the Moksha is weak. Right?
Yeah.
And then, because it was always about yourself, so I was doing the Dharma for my benefit, and I want moksha for my benefit. But if I'm doing Dharma because I'm supposed to, and because the soul then becomes freed from, because it will please Krishna, that's actual religion. That's Sad Dharma.
Yes.
So that's why we how you say, we're more interested in Krishna consciousness, right? Rather than Krishna us or something. So we were discussing before. Actually, it's Krishna, me. But we want to be inclusive, so therefore Krishna, us. Right? That makes sense. Yeah. So the whole thing is that direction is not the recommended direction. Because that's the just standard pious karma conduct. You know, getting facility here, heavenly planets. Right? That's what is there. So now you drop it out of the Vedic, then what is that? And that's in the mode of goodness. What does that leave you? Passion and ignorance. Right? Because when we talk about modern man, we don't talk about living out in the countryside covered with cow dung. We're talking about in the city. You know, let's say talking about a suburb. right? Because the suburbs are supposed to be in the mode of goodness, right? You know. But the whole point is it's just, you know, more pleasant passion than ignorance. Does that make sense? So it can't provide anything. It can't satisfy anything. That's why one has to look. Minimum where we start is goodness. But the recommendation is goodness is still not good enough. You want pure goodness. Okay. Thereafter, at the end of Kali Yuga, when there exist no topics on the subject of God, even at the residences of so-called saints and respectable gentlemen of the three higher castes, it means they'll still be there. You know, so despite whatever you want to do, those aren't going away. And when the power of government is transferred to the hands of ministers elected from the low-born Shudra class, or by less than them, and when nothing is known of the techniques of sacrifice, even by word, that means sacrifice means voluntarily giving up the results for someone else. That means no one will do that. They'll only do something for their own benefit. Yeah. At that time, the Lord will appear as the supreme chastiser, right? Yeah. I mean, just reading that group there, that's very contemporary. All that is that end is just more extreme. So people are thinking, you know, get better, but no, this is how Kali Yuga works. It's just the way it is. So the whole point is only by God consciousness can you reverse it. So if you remove God consciousness, right, then it's going to go the other way. So it's that simple. It's not like you can improve it. The only way to improve it is God consciousness. In his purport to verse 38, Srila Prabhupada explains that the sum and substance of Kali Yuga is godlessness. Even the so-called saints and higher castes of the social orders, generally known as the Dvija Janas, or the twice born, will become atheists. As such, all of them will practically forget even the holy name of the Lord and what to speak of his activities. The higher castes of society, namely the intelligent class of men, guiding the destinies of the social orders, So they guide the destinies, okay? The administrative class of men guiding the law and order of the society, and the productive class of men guiding the economic development of the society, must all properly, all be properly well versed in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. So the law and order must be there. So in other words, as long as the productive class is producing money and not breaking the rules, then that's fine. That's why they lead that. That's why you say free economy. Yes, but free economy, you can't break the rules. Right? And the rules are established, we see, you know, then by the proper... We learn the rules and learn how to follow them by hearing from the intelligent class. Right? So that coming... what's given in Shastra... That's then taught by the intelligent class, that's applied to the environment by the administrative class, then the economic class can be prosperous. Then everybody else is engaged to see that these three things go on. Does that make sense? So it's not a separate thing. So that's why one can say, hey, well, what about the fourth order here? But you don't have to mention it, because how do you do these other three? Right. Yeah. That means everybody has to help. You don't run a business alone, you have helpers. You don't run a government alone, you have helpers. Education, there's always so many people involved. Right? You know, so it's all there. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like to say you have a janitor. The janitor could be cleaning the school, could be cleaning the administrative building, could be cleaning the business. Right? The point is to assist. The point is to see that these other activities, which these are the most important, then goes on. Because now you know what you're supposed to do, you're protected, you have money. So now, what else does a person want? Right? A clear identity, you know, in a protected environment, in a protected, prosperous environment. That's what people want. So that's going to happen if these three kinds of leaders are doing their duties based on God consciousness. Right? Mm-hmm. So, okay. knowing factually his name. No, so all must be properly well-versed in knowledge of the Supreme Lord, knowing factually his name, quality, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, and personalities. The saints and the higher castes or orders of the society are judged by their proportion of knowledge in the science of God, or tatvijnana, not by any kind of birthright or bodily designations. Such designations, without any knowledge of the science of God and practical knowledge of devotional service, are considered to be decorations of dead bodies. And that practical knowledge, how to apply the devotional service, right? So now, if someone is running their business to get money to use in Krishna's service, then what is that? What do we call that endeavor in that business? Devotional service. So that is the practical and practical knowledge of devotional service. So he has this knowledge of the science of God, right? So he knows the tattva, and you know, and he has the and practical knowledge of devotional service. So how to practice it as a sadhana, how to practice it in the family, how to practice it in his occupation. You remove God consciousness, then it just becomes an occupational skill. So that's what we say. The modern educational system is atheistic. Because it doesn't teach how that skill is in connection with the person, you know, in their life of God consciousness. So does that make sense? So the skill's useful, but the attitude that they have is not. Right? So that's why we don't adjust Krishna consciousness to apply their skills. You have to adjust the skills to apply to Krishna consciousness. So the skill's not a problem. I could say, well, that's not practical. But the point is we can go on mentioning probably millions of people who are millionaires who are God conscious. Right? But there's going to be, as far as the population goes, less people who are not God conscious who are millionaires. The proportion's going to drop. Because it's God consciousness that makes dharma turn into artha. You only perform dharma because it's God consciousness. Because otherwise, you can't sustain economics if you're not doing dharma. So if you're making shortcuts, you're not going to be rich for long. You know, if you want to get rich quick and, you know, your kids are poor because you're in jail, then great, go for it. But if you know, but if there's this idea that handing down the money and possessions and all this, that's only because of piety. So there's no way around it. So in other words, piety is part of devotional service, not devotional service is part of piety. So devotional service is independent, it already includes its own piety. It already includes its own skills, its own everything. And when there is too much inflation of these decorated dead bodies in society, there develop so many anomalies in the progressive, peaceful life of the human being because of the lack of training or culture in the upper section of the social orders. Lack of training or culture. Yes. Right? So they might have training but no culture, or culture but no training. Or no culture and no training. Right? There are no more to be designated as the Dvijajanas, or the twice born. The significance of being twice born has been explained in many places in these great literatures. And again, one is reminded herewith that birth, executed by the sex life of the father and mother, is called animal birth. But such animal birth and progress of life on the animal principles of eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating, without any scientific culture or spiritual life, is called the Shudra life. Or, to be more explicit, the uncultured life of the lower class of men. It is stated herein that the governmental power of society in the Kali Yuga will be passed over to the uncultured, godless labor class of men. And thus, the Nridevas, or the ministers of the government, will be the Vrishalas, or the uncultured lower class men of society. No one can expect any peace and prosperity in a human society full of uncultured lower classes of men. So we're talking about lower classes, meaning the mentality. We're not talking here, just as by birth you're not high class, so by birth you're not low class. So our point is it's not, when we say low class, we mean low class mentality, that it's all about oneself. There's no God consciousness, it's all about yourself. That's what we mean. So that's Risha.
This means by default, the consciousness of the living entities are the mind, actually. In the beginning, and
yes,
they should develop.
In the beginning, it was anamaya. And it was not quite good enough. Yes. One is born in anamaya, so without training, one will remain there. So just because one grows up and learns to, you know, not, when one eats, not make such a mess, that doesn't mean that you're not, it's not still an anamaya. So that's the thing, just because you're so sophisticated, you know, you can say, sniff your beverage while you drink it. That doesn't mean that you're somehow or another superior. You're still lower class. You may be sophisticated lower class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Almost worse.
Yeah. No one can expect any peace and prosperity in human society full of uncultured lower classes of men. The symptoms of such uncultured social animals are already in vogue. And it is the duty of leaders of men to take note of it and try to reform the social order by introducing the principles of twice-born men trained in the science of God consciousness. Right? Now one may say, well, if they're all shooters, how are people doing business, government? Yeah. So they are dvija bandhus. Right? So the Vaishya Bandhu, he's doing business. Right? The Kshatriya Bandhu is doing administration. Right? The Brahma Bandhu, he's doing this, he's doing journalism. Right? Yeah. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. So they have the skill, but it's not used in God consciousness, therefore technically they're not dvijas. So if you take, that's why we say the modern society is not scientific. It still follows Varnashram, but unscientifically. Because you're still going to have intellectual, administrative, business, and labor class of men. It's always there. It doesn't matter what you try to do, you'll still always have it. You know what I'm saying? You take the laborer, put him in the Kremlin, is he still acting in the position of a laborer? He has the mentality, but is he doing the work?
No.
He's doing administration.
Yeah.
Right? And they're taking their advice from their intellectuals. Right? Does that make sense? So the difficulty is there, is like in China, then you can have, therefore, persons working on that kind of level who would work with economics and make money. Problem is, in Russia, they shot them all.
Yes.
You know, so therefore, then you can't do that. Right? Thus, the collapse of one and not in the other.
Yeah, exactly. I can see the result.
Yeah. You know, so in other words, the society runs when there's four, not three.
Yeah.
You know, and that is, there's three, but there was discussion that there's only one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But the point is, there's no such thing as not having all four. You have to have. But it's unscientific, because without God consciousness, they don't actually become dvijas, so the society is not progressive. It'll go on as an unprogressive society of hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. Like that. That's, you know, so it's not peaceful. It's not pleasant. That's the thing. There is no peace. Why is yoga becoming popular?
Because
there's no peace. People are more God conscious before, right? They follow more the religious kind of restrictions, right?
Yeah.
And so there was more peace.
Mm.
You know, these kids would go out and play in the street in front of the house. No one would kidnap them. No one would run them over.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so like that. But now, as it goes, you know, you're lucky if you can stay in your own house and not get kidnapped or run over. You know, like that. You know, like someone was telling me, a good door in New York is made of steel. That's a good door. Better is bulletproof.
Yes.
Verses 39 to 50. No go. Oh. Okay. Oh, did we finish that last sentence?
Two sentences left.
This can be done by... Okay. This can be done. Okay, it means, in other words, introducing the principles of twice-born men trained in the science of God consciousness. This can be done by expanding the culture of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. Right? In the degraded condition of human society, the Lord incarnates as the Kalki avatar and kills all the demoniac without mercy. Right. So it's his mercy that he kills them. So being killed by him, then they'll get a better position. But the point is it's yeah. So that's the only way, is expanding the culture of Bhagavatam. That's what it says. It's a cultural level. You have to change the mentality of people. It doesn't mean that there'll be any less prosperous. People think then we'll have less money. No, you'll actually have more money. Right? If you work in cooperation with God's laws, then there's more money. Nevertheless.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki jai, Janyatai Gaurav ki jai.